Section 2. Ideas. Module 5. Main Ideas. Key Points. Mises argues that money is chiefly a means of exchange, and its other purposes follow from this. There are substitutes for money, too, ranging from notes and certificates fully covered by a bank's deposits to fiduciary media, which are covered only partly or not at all. For Mises, when banks create money, they create artificially low interest rates and credit bubbles, causing people to spend and borrow excessively. The result is a business cycle of destructive booms and busts. Mises attempted to write clearly and straightforwardly, seeing the mathematical turn in post-war economics as founded on assumptions he did not accept. Key themes. In The Theory of Money and Credit, Ludwig von Mises first develops a very persuasive concept of the nature of money. He then proceeds to apply this to better understanding problems about banking and the business cycle. Mises' analysis of the nature of money, hovering as it does at the center of his work, draws on Menger's. However, Mises expands his teacher's analysis in four important ways. First, money for Menger was simultaneously a means of exchange, a store of value, a means of immediate or deferred payment, and a measure of value, a numeraire. But Mises observes there is a hierarchy in these functions. That is, a commodity can't really be... That is, a commodity can't really be a store of value if it is not marketable, because people would not be able to realize the value contained in a commodity if they could not exchange that commodity for other things. They would simply be stuck with it. And being a means of exchange is the necessary condition for all the others. Second, the hierarchy in the functions of money is not Mises's only hierarchy. He also constructs a second, running from money in the narrowest and best sense, to all things which might be accepted as surrogates for money. These substitutes, issued by banks, like bank deposits and notes, represent legal title to money in the narrow sense. Third, there is a hierarchy in these money substitutes, too. They might be covered by a corresponding amount of money held by the bank, in which case Mises calls them money certificates. Or they might be only partly, or maybe not at all, covered by money held by the bank. In this last case, Mises calls them fiduciary media, or in German, Umlaufschmittel. Some translators have simply called this credit. Finally, Mises takes a dim view of fiduciary media. Banks issue money substitutes of this sort to fulfill demand for money, when this is greater than their actual supply of it. In so doing, though, says Mises, they weaken the purchasing power of all money. For Mises, when banks create fiduciary media, which are not backed up by money held in their own accounts or vaults, they engage in a very dangerous game indeed. Exploring the ideas. Mises's sharp criticism of the current form of banking practiced in most countries worldwide, fractional reserve banking, which is when banks extend loans not fully backed up by their own reserves, has been both powerfully controversial and influential. This criticism proved the origin of Austrian business cycle theory, which Friedrich Hayek afterward developed further in his 1931 Prices and Production, and along with a very different approach taken by Keynesian economics, Austrian business cycle theory is one significant influence on how mainstream economics now understands business cycles today. For Mises, banks creating money, or more precisely, in his terminology, not money but money substitutes or fiduciary media, is always a bad idea. In his argument, central banks create credit bubbles, when they lend to private banks, without holding reserves equal to more than a fraction of the loan. Next, private banks themselves make loans, which are not fully backed up either by their reserves or those of the central bank. The resulting interest rate for the loan market is lower than it would be if the money supply were stable. In turn, when interest rates are artificially too low for too long a time, people save less than they otherwise would, and they borrow excessively, leading to speculative bubbles. Projects begin to seem profitable, which otherwise would not have done, resulting in poor quality investment and overconsumption. That is, individuals make investment and consumption decisions which do not reflect the economy's real long-term needs and demands, as these would be expressed with correct price signals in a free market. This can never end well, says Mises. There is no means of avoiding the final collapse of a boom brought about by credit expansion, he warns. The alternative, Mises adds gloomily, is only whether the crisis should come sooner as a result of the voluntary abandonment of further credit expansion or later as a final and total catastrophe of the currency system involved. In this way, the distinction between money and fiduciary media, which is at the core of Mises's thinking, leads to one of the theory of money and credit's most influential contributions. The way excessively easy credit leads to a business cycle of regularly occurring destructive booms and busts. Language and expression. The clarity of Mises's prose, a trait he possibly inherited from his teachers, attracted praise from his very earliest reviewers. His writing has been praised as unique and captivating, as well as precise and careful. Hayek, Mises's Austrian school contemporary, referred to his clear, well-argued, and deceptively simple prose style. Even Keynes, in later life an antagonist of Mises's, found much to praise in his style of lucid common sense. Its plainness, however, sometimes hides the breadth and depth of Mises's thought, and sometimes his arguments do not spell out his arguments fully, and tacitly presuppose a good grasp of economic processes from a reader. At the same time, Mises presents his arguments boldly and unwaveringly, leading some readers to find him more belligerent than other economists. He can be withering, caustic, abrasive, and pungent. The modern reader is struck by the absence of mathematics from Mises's work. This is not accidental. Mises believed the highly mathematical turn which economics took after the Second World War was based on false assumptions, and so erected a vast and superficially impressive structure on what were, from his perspective, decidedly shaky foundations. Translating Mises from German to English poses its own problems. Mises published The Theory of Money and Credit in Vienna in 1912, with a second edition following in 1924. An English-language translation, by Harold Batson, an assistant in the economics department at the London School of Economics, did not appear until 1934 from London publishers Jonathan Cape. The first publishers translated Umlaufschmittel as fiduciary media in the text, but as credit in the title, thinking the more unusual phrase would irritate readers. By 1953, by which time Mises was living in the United States, he produced an expanded English-language edition with Yale University Press. End of Section 2, Module 5. Coming up next, Section 2, Ideas. Module 6, Secondary Ideas.